So you know the old thing about the Velvet Underground and how their first album only sold 1,000 copies, but you know, like every person who heard it went out and started their own band? Well, Paula Wolford is like the Velvet Underground of cookbook writers. She is most famous for breaking open the world of Mediterranean flavors in America, but the way she did it defined a whole style of food writing. Really intense, immersive research, making no compromises in her recipes, cooking things exactly as she saw them, wherever she was. But there's a cruel irony in her story. A woman who's done so much to document cuisines for posterity is battling dementia and losing her own memory. Emily Kaiser Thielen was Paula's editor at Food & Wine magazine, and 7 years ago, when Paula was updating her first book called Couscous and Other Good Food from Morocco, Emily jumped at the chance to go on Paula's visit back to Morocco. They became close, and after Paula's diagnosis with Alzheimer's, Emily decided she wanted to write the biography of her friend to help save her memories before she lost them. Her book is called Unforgettable. Emily, thank you so much for coming in today.
Hey, Francis. Thank you for having me.
So, Emily, tell me about that trip to Morocco with Paula Wolford. I mean, you saw her walking in these streets that are so connected to the start of her whole career. And you know, how did she learn to do that? How did she learn to explore these places? And how did she begin her career as being such an almost anthropologist of these foods?
Actually, I think that was one of my favorite discoveries. Because one of the things that struck me about couscous when I read it when I was a timid line cook in my early 20s was how unbelievably bold and brave she seemed. And there's this amazing back cover image in that book that's now our frontispiece cover in the book, where she's just plowing through this market in this beautiful Moroccan robe and just look like she absolutely owns the world. And so there I was in Morocco, like desperate to ask her, like, where did you get your bravery? And it actually turned out that her cooking career had started almost as a total act of panic, that her first husband, with whom she'd been married and had two kids, and they had lived very happily in beatnik capitals around the Mediterranean for 10 years, up and left her in 1968 with only a couple $1,000s. And she had no career. She had been a housewife. She had no faith in herself. And she very heartbrokenly retreated back to New York with her kids and had to do something. And she had sort of dallied in cooking to a quite deep degree, but basically dallied in her first years out of college and thought, well, that's all I got. I got to give it a shot. And she sort of worked her unusual beatnik connections and found her way to CBS Records, of all places, that was launching this wild service, actually quite similar to Blue Apron or Sunbasket today. Pardon the plug, as I work at Sunbasket, but it was at a much deeper level. This is where they would ship a 6-course dinner party to serve along with an album of music. There was this sort of surging trend in international cooking and throwing dinner parties and having these little gourmet clubs. And they made the mistake of hiring Paula to run these things, and she went off the deep end. She had a French dinner party, which involved poaching your own trout, skinning the trout, making your own aspic from the poaching water, getting some tweezers, cutting up a pimenton pepper and some lemon zest into little floral petals and making flowers on the trout in the aspic, and then making your own mayonnaise and then pureeing spinach into the mayonnaise. And that was just one of 6 courses. And she started with French, and then she did Chinese, and then she thought, well, I'm going to do a Moroccan box. And that eventually led to the Moroccan cookbook, because Columbia House Records realized nobody was buying these incredibly complicated dinner party boxes and shut down the program, leaving Paula again totally stranded, right? It's interesting because, of course, we could see it from a mile away, but Paula was totally devastated. And it was, again, in a kind of act of panic that she thought, well, hell, I'll just do a book. And ironically, she was working on a Moroccan party box and a Mexican party box at the same time. And to help her with a Mexican party box, she'd taken a cooking class in New York with a totally unknown aspiring cookbook writer named Diana Kennedy, and they became best friends. And it was Diana who introduced Paula to her editor at Harper & Row, who bought the Couscous book. And when Diana called her editor, Fran McCullough, she said, "Fran, I have a woman here who I think is the real deal." And that's all Fran McCullough needed to hear. And she bought Paula's proposal.
That's incredible. Wow, and, you know, and she turned out to be the real deal. So when you're writing the biography of a living person, it's not just research into their papers and their archives and interviews with friends and families. It's how do you extract the story from a living human being? And in 2013, I believe, right, she was diagnosed with dementia, possibly Alzheimer's. And so there's this horrible irony there of needing to find the memories of a person who's losing them. So when you're doing that, you said that cooking with her was one of the ways you could help bring those memories back. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we actually started the project in 2010 when I moved from New York to California, and we were both intimidated at the idea of an entire biography, so we kind of tricked ourselves and said, we'll just do a series of oral histories. And so I just interviewed her. And I'm very glad we did that, because I was able to get a lot of very clear memories of her early life, where she doesn't have a lot of archival records. But after 2013, we started plunging into her professional life, where she does have an enormous amount of archival records, but her memories are more fuzzy. So there, it was fascinating to not just to the whole process of cooking, like beginning with having her flip through the cookbooks and look back over her own recipes. It was amazing the not just the memory, the specific memories, but the sort of overall feeling she could recall about each book, because she's written 9 books, so, and each one over 5 years. So each book really has a very deep tie to a very specific period in her life. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, like, each book is a little scrapbook on an era of her life, but also because she was so aware and plugged into the American food scene, it was also a real mirror on what was going on in America at the time. So, for example, her Mediterranean Grains and Greens book, which she wrote in the later 90s, was very much a reaction to the San Francisco, her moving to San Francisco and discovering all these, this explosion in organic farmers markets. And Paula being Paula, she put it together like, oh, well, if there's all these organic farmers, then they're going to have all these edible weeds. So edible weeds are going to be the next big thing. And she did this deep dive into purslane and nettles and horse mint. And of course, the book is now out of print because she was so far ahead of her time on that. But it was so fun. As she was flipping through the pages, she said, like, I really went somewhere creative with this. She was impressed by her own work. Mm-hmm. But then when we cooked dishes from it together, I mean, dementia is a really cruel but also very, this sounds weird to say, but it's a very sort of human illness, because it attacks your brain in the, they think it attacks your brain in the order in which your brain was developed, and it attacks every patient's brain in a different way. So it's very specific to that person, and how it affects them on a day-to-day basis, on an hour-to-hour basis, on a minute-to-minute basis changes constantly, and so you never know what you're going to get. So I think I say human because it just requires you to be in the moment and very present with that person. So in an interesting, heartbreaking way, we had these very present exchanges over her food. And so, for example, I made this sprinkle pie that is loaded with these blended greens, and she ate it and took a bite, and she said, "I don't remember anything." It's like, all right, well, we'll just try again. And she took another bite and she said, "Oh yeah, I learned this with Aglaya." And like little by little, little bits would come out. But just to hear her say, "Oh yeah," just gave me such a charge, because it always was such a crapshoot what was going to come out.
Yeah. But tell me about the physical act of cooking with a person who's, you know, who's struggling with this illness. You write in the book, you know, here are some tips how to retrieve memories with food. And one of the things you write is, oh, sometimes when you're cooking with them, their hands know what to do, even if they say their mind doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like one caveat I should offer we learned really early on to keep her away from the stoves because her whole sort of way of processing the cooking process was altered by this illness. So we confined her to prep and watching us cook and sort of offering advice. But in any case, one of my favorite moments of that, we cooked a dish that she had learned in 1958 under Dione Lucas, this kind of precursor to Julia Child, who was her, Paula sort of landed in her cooking class. And it was this dish called sole du gloré, this very classic French fish dish, which is in the book, that really set Paula on fire about food and made her want to drop out of college and apprentice herself to Dione. And so I thought, well, I really want to make this dish and see what memories those evoke. And it's a very Paula dish. There are a lot of complicated steps that aren't counterintuitive, that you think aren't going to work. And I was panicking while I was making it. I was like, Paul, this isn't right. And she said, well, I think it looks right. I haven't made this dish in 50 years, but I think it looks right. And I said, what, do you have any idea what she means by like roll up the sole fillets? And Paula just grabbed the fish out of my hand and immediately started rolling them up. And you could tell, and while she was saying that, she's saying, I have no idea, but just had this physical reaction and had such utter confidence about it. And you knew she had done this 100 times at some point in her life and that it just came back to her hands before it came back to her mind. It was really something.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Emily.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Emily Kaiser-Thielen is the author of Unforgettable, The Bold Flavors of Paula Wolfert's Renegade Life. You can find Paula's recipe for that sole du gloré Emily talked about at splendidtable.org. And while you're there, you can also find another Paula classic, Cassoulet in the Style of Toulouse. This is a hardcore 3-day cassoulet with 6 kinds of pork. Find it at splendidtable.org.